It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest on His promise, just to know not Jesus, because I've lost you, I've proved it all, and all, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for me to trust you more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proven it all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for me to trust. Can we do that song? Just one more time. Jesus, wait to trust in Jesus. Trust to take Him at His word. Just to rest. Just. Hallelujah. Just to trust in heaven on earth, underneath the earth, by which men can be saved. There's no other one who brings answers and solutions to the challenges of men if it is not you. God has given you a name that's above all names, and He has commanded that at your name every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that you are the Lord. We join the choir this evening to say you are the champion. You are the conqueror. You are the Lord of all. You are the King of kings. For God has highly exalted you, and He has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. We confess this night that you are worthy to be worshipped, you are worthy to be followed, you are worthy to hang our lives on you. It is so sweet to trust in you, to take you by your word. Your promises are yes and they are amen. Tonight, Lord, we ask that you walk in our midst. Walk in your majesty, walk in your power, walk in your authority. Bring every issue, O God, to a conclusion. Every matter, let them find an answer here. Release your hand upon us now. Cause your word to mix with faith in our hearts. And as you send us forth from this revival meeting, we shall go on fire. We shall go serving the Lord. We shall go fulfilling our destinies. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. We are grateful to God for bringing us to this point again tonight. We thank God for all that His Spirit has brought us through in the course of this meeting. It is now again very crucial that we return to Haggai chapter 2, and we now read together again what he had been declaring to us. The more he made those declarations, the more we continue to hear him speak about our role and about what he wants to do with our lives. In the morning, we began to look at the making of his instruments. This evening, we are going to be looking at the equipping of God's instrument for the supernatural shakings. How does God equip them? And we're going to pick our scripture. We're reading a few scriptures together tonight. Verse 6 again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Before I come to now begin to look at these issues, there was one thing we have read and read and read, but we have not highlighted in this passage that we have been reading. And it is the particular and peculiar introduction of God who is speaking. He has particularly introduced himself in a peculiar manner, which is very critical for us to understand the equipping of God's instrument for supernatural shaking. Did you notice that in other places, God will say, says the Lord Almighty? Eh? I know you know many passages when God will introduce and says, I am the Lord what? Almighty. Sometimes he will introduce himself as the Jehovah Sabaoth. But when we come here, repeatedly, God was declaring something about himself. When you talk about the Lord of hosts, you know that you are talking about the captain in battle. When the children of Israel crossed Jordan and they were confronted with the walls of Jericho, and Joshua, who had thought that he had the mandate to lead the people across when they have come to that point, and now here is the wall of Jericho that nobody could ever have attempted. One of the nights, the Lord, he had a visitation. A visitation that almost looked like the kind that Moses had at the burning bush. Except that in this particular one, he heard this divine commander. I said, take off your shoes, for the ground on which thou standest is a holy ground. And Joshua said, who are you, Lord? Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries? What was the answer that that man gave? He said, let's read it. Because we are going to be looking at the equipping. If we rise from this meeting and we have laid down our lives in his hands as vessels and as his weapons and instruments for supernatural shaking in different quarters, in different aspects of human endeavor, what is the Lord saying to us? Would you like to look at Joshua chapter 5 and see the particular introduction that was brought out there? Chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 13 up to verse 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. No. But as a captain of the Lord's host, as a captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. From that moment forward, the captain of the Lord's host took over. And Joshua, as great a story we could read about Joshua, all that we could recall about Joshua's ministry and life throughout the time, he was only subservient. He was only a figurehead. The captain of the Lord's host is the one who was walking. Please hear me very well. That is the beginning of how to understand the equipping of God's servants, God's instruments for supernatural shaking. They are men and women that God is happy to work with when they have taken off their own shoes. And you know, in the land of Israel, when you take off your shoes, you have only said only one thing. I am not able I am not sufficient. I am not capable of entering into this. Whenever you see a man remove his shoes in those days, the statement he has made is that, please, take over from me. Even though I'm supposed to stand here, I don't have what it takes to stand. The introduction we are having in Haggai repeatedly is of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the army. The captain that has come to execute every battle. The captain that has come to take over and direct all those that are under his hands who have removed their shoes unto victory. And so tonight, as I begin to look at what is God's equipping for the lives of men and women that he wants to use to bring about a divine visitation, a divine intervention in our time, in our land, in our generation, and among men all over, we want to first note that all that are such recruited, they only operate under the Lord of hosts. If I were reading it in Yoruba now, that introduction would have been Bayi Yoluwa Mogugwi. You don't use the word the Lord of hosts if there was no battle to fight. Praise the Lord. God will never introduce himself as the Lord of hosts except when he is leading his people unto battle. He will only say, I am the Lord of hosts, because he is leading his people into a battle to gain the victory. So as I look at Haggai, and I see God speaking repeatedly about himself, and permit me to now ask you to read it again so that you see what the Lord of hosts is saying. Now, the reason why we are going to speak like we are speaking tonight is because the captain has descended. You will see him in action in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, Jericho was Abba. The Bible describes Jericho as a wall, the thickness of it. In fact, the people that have studied archaeology of those days, they said in between two walls, it's not just one wall. There's an outer wall, then there's an inner wall, and in between the two walls, there are houses. Did you understand what I'm describing? Now, I have worked with architects and civil engineers. When they want to give you a reinforced wall, they double the bricks. There is the external bricks that they have laid. Then they have laid another. Then in between the two bricks, they now pour what you call reinforced concrete. You will think that you are coming near one wall. Try to hit it. you will meet your own trouble. But now, Jericho was not just built with two layers of walls with concrete inside. They built it in such a way that even in between two walls, there are also concrete buildings. The implication of this is that even if you shoot a bullet, your bullet cannot penetrate, it only enters into a vacuum. So the people of Jericho, they believe so much in their walls. There are two things that are going for them that gave them great confidence that nobody can overrun them. The River Jordan that has overflooded his bank. They look at River Jordan and say, all right, before anybody can cross over here, he has to swim. And they'll be watching how you'll be able to cross over swimming on an overflooded river. So they are so confident. Then they are confident about their double layer walls that nobody can shake. No bullet can penetrate. And everything was, you know, sealed up. But what you did not know is that the inhabitants within the wall of Jericho, they were melting. Their hearts were melting. How did we know? When the two spies were sent to go and check the situation of Jericho, unlike the 12 spies that said they saw giants, these two spies were mobilized by Joshua and said, go quickly, go to Jericho and bring me a word. By the time they were getting to Jericho, they met, do you remember the woman they met? They met Rahab, the harlot, whose house is on the wall. And she lodged them to that night. She thought they were customers. But by the time they entered, she noticed that these are not her usual customers. And she immediately recognized that these people must have come from this nation we have been hearing about. This nation that we were told that when they left Egypt, they devastated Egypt. And that all nations that have ever tried to stop them on their path, they dealt with them, including the Moabites, the Amorites. So the people of Jericho, they were already, and when they saw that the River Jordan that they were trusting as their second layer of defense, when they saw that that river broke into two, and they saw these people filing in on dry ground, they began to talk to themselves and say, now, we don't know what's going to happen. So the only thing they have now going for them was their wall. And when they described the wall, they said, it's so tall as if it was going to reach the heaven. That was just to describe how tall, how impenetrable, how thick the walls of Jericho were. And here were the children of Israel. And so the captain of the Lord's host came down. I'm so happy that the Bible said, as the captain of the Lord's host, have I now come. Remove your shoe, please. Fall behind. So the way in which God was introducing himself to us in Agar is introducing himself as the Lord of hosts. But when you are going to walk with the Lord of hosts, one of the first things that you must recognize and be ready to work with is first and foremost to surrender what you thought was your expertise. It will take over. God will take over from us. God will take over from your ministry. God will do something beyond all you know how to do. So you can see on that day, as you read the book of Joshua, from that chapter 5 until the end of the life of Joshua, he operated under that captain. Even though everybody looks at Joshua as the commander, but the commander has a commander. The invisible but invincible commander, the Lord of hosts, was ahead. And so when instruction began to come, he said, Joshua, we are going to execute this battle like this. You just move around it. You are not shooting a gun. Just move around the walls. Let the ark go around the wall one time in one day. When you finish, you come back. On the second day, you go around again. And they did that for 6 days. On the seventh day, you are going to go around it 7 times. As you are concluding the seventh cycle, what should you do now? All of you should give a shout. And as you are doing that, and you know by strategy what it means, that as they were moving around, they were now positioned all around the city. I don't know if you understand it now. Eh? If I ask all of us to go out now and just, let's just sing around, and just sing around this house. And as we are singing around, and I'm sure that we have gone around one time, we have gone around 2 times, we've gone around 3 times, and I suddenly say, stop! Stay where you are. Do you know that each one of us will find ourselves at different points all around the building? Is that true? He now said, now, when you hear the trumpet, you give a shout. And as you give that shout, the walls of Jericho will collapse. Go straight in front of you. Kill whatever you can kill. What kind of strategy is that? When the captain of the Lord's host takes over. So the first equipping that we are dealing with today is the equipping of the present presence of our captain. Please take note of that. Supernatural shaking is only possible when the captain of the Lord's host are taking position over all the men and women that God wants to use. Joshua will not be able to achieve anything unless that captain has arrived. Let me inform you that what God was about to do with the children of Israel, honestly speaking, by their own number, by their size, by their expertise, and by their experience, they were not equal to dislodge the Canaanites. Were they? Eh? If you remember, however they describe any of those men, they said they are the sons of Anak. These are sons of giants. When the 10 spies were describing them, wow. He said, these men, they are the inhabitants of the land, they consume the land. They describe how tall they were. They were said they are 9 cubits and above. He said, when we look at ourselves, compare with them, what did they call themselves? They said, we are just like grasshoppers. In fact, in their eyes, we are just like grasshoppers. The tallest man among us is a grasshopper in their eyes. Let's not attempt it. Let's not go there. They spoke as if they have no captain who can lead them to battle. But the first thing I saw as I'm reading Haggai, as I'm looking at Joshua, as I'm looking at even the Acts of the Apostles, it is the present presence of our captain that is our first equipment. That the Lord comes down and takes over from our lives is the beginning of our victory. So the first thing that we are going to be looking at tonight is how to bear God's presence into everything and into every place and into every assignment that God will ever give you. Hallelujah. So when God finished speaking in Haggai to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah chapter 4, which we referred to, I think, yesterday or day before yesterday, he said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by who? By my spirit, says who? Please go back and read it. Zechariah chapter 4. Don't worry that I am drawing you to very meticulous details, because if you don't have understanding, you are likely to misunderstand. Look at that scripture again, all of you. Then he answered, chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4:6, and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by what? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says who? The Lord of hosts. It is the present presence of the Lord of hosts that is our first, primary, and principal equipment to experience supernatural shift. The presence of the Lord resting upon our lives. The presence of the Lord taking over from your life. The Lord stepping in and saying, take off your hand, take off your shoes, and hand over to me. Every battle that you are going to see great move of God, it is because the captain of the Lord's host has done what? Has taken over. Now, let me tell you simple stories like this so that I can bring it down to your understanding. I have found that the greatest time you see God at work in your life or in your ministry And those of you that are pastors who can help me testify, you will notice that the message you preach that affected people most, that they remember most, that touched people most, was that message that you preached by mistake. Was that message that you felt completely unprepared for. It was that message that when they called you to the pulpit, you were actually confused, you were nervous, you were saying, what do I do now? What you prepared evaporated from your head. Your note that you wrote down became useless. And you started lifting up and saying, Lord, if you don't help me here, I am finished. Can any of you confirm to me? You know that is the message that created the greatest impact. There are other messages you went and preached as an expert that you put your hand in your pocket. And when they call you up, you say, yes, hallelujah. God is going to move today. Yes, you're an expert. And he just walks in and says, yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Smile to somebody and say, God is going to do something for you today. You are so confident because you are prepared. If you are very sincere and you want to take a proper evaluation of that message, he did not. Brilliant, but powerless. Well organized, but it touched nobody. Properly documented, but no record in heaven. People shook their heads to appreciate your brilliance, but their heart remained cold. Such men, God does not need them. God needs men who tremble, who have removed their shoes, who recognize that if the captain of the Lord's host does not take over, we dare not go. So the first equipping of the instrument that God uses is what I call the equipping of internal weakness. This is looking not correct, have you? Because you will want me to talk about equipping to be powerful. Have you? You want to be powerful. You want to be in charge. But the God, when God equips a man for his work, to make him an effective weapon to shake lands and nations, the first thing he equips them with is internal what? Weakness. A weakness that takes away their confidence from themselves. A weakness that makes them helplessly dependent on the captain of the Lord's host. Please listen carefully to me. I pray I can make it simple so that you can follow me quickly. I am not talking of that cosmetic statement that many of you say many times, by the grace of God, when you actually, you are saying nothing. You are beating your chest, but because it's a religious way of talking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you become completely aware of your emptiness. You become completely aware of your weakness. You become totally conscious of your uselessness in affecting anybody to such a point that even though you used to be a wonderful speaker, the overwhelming awareness of your emptiness turns you immediately to a stammerer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the first necessary equipment for the man, the woman, that God is going to use to do great things. And even though you see me applying it to preaching, because that is what I can readily talk about now, but in every issue where you are going to see God take over, praise the Lord, in every issue where you are going to see God do supernatural things, He must equip you with inherent internal recognition of your complete inadequacy, so that the sufficiency might be of God and not of you. So, as a matter of priority, when God intends to use you for great works, do you know what He does? He will greatly dismantle you. This is what my brothers don't like. This is what many of us will fight against. We don't want to lose control. You want to be in charge. You want to know the end from the beginning before you start. You want to be sure that you are in charge. And if you are not in charge, you feel so bad. And you are telling yourself, I need something to put me in charge. But God is looking for a man that has been discharged, that has removed his shoes from his feet, so that heaven can walk. If I were to pray for you very sincerely tonight, which I would like to do, if I see that you are a man that God intends to use for great things, if I see that you are somebody that God is planning to take onto a height, even in your profession, I will offer a prayer for you. Sometimes when I'm praying such a prayer with all my heart, I don't see you saying a loud amen. Because it's not the kind. I say, Father, for this brother to make progress, let all who he trusted, let them disappoint him. Let the muscles of his thigh that makes him to think he can stand on his 2 feet by himself, let it collapse, that he may forever lean on the everlasting arm. For you will be successful, not by might, not by power, but by what? But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It was impossible for God to use Moses. You know why? He was a strong man. He just came out of the palace. When I read the credentials they put for Brother Moses in Acts chapter 7, they said he was a man of mighty words. Have you? He was well trained in all the signs of Egypt. He has control of the languages and the cultures and the customs of Egyptians. Of course, he went to the King's College. They were preparing him to be the next Pharaoh. And everywhere he went, he was treated and greeted as prince. But when he came to his house, when he knew that God will use him, and he said, I'm no more Pharaoh's daughter's son. But he still had the strength of Egypt. And so he went, and he was ready to do something. And the Bible said he presumed, according to Acts chapter 7, the Bible said he presumed that the people will have known that he is the one that will be their deliverer. So he was moving with that kind of boldness, that kind of assurance inside, that they should know that I'm in charge. They should know that I know what to do. So the day one brother among the Israelites confronted him and says, excuse me, who made you a ruler over us? I'm not an Egyptian that you can push anyhow like you did the one yesterday. Do you know the meaning of that? Moses fled. The Bible says he fled from Egypt. He knew the matter is now a matter. By the time he got to the house of Jethro in Midian, the Bible describes that he got to that house. He had never fetched water in his life before. Are you hearing me? Moses had never fetched water from the well before. If you understand what I'm talking about, he grew up in the palace. Somebody waited on him. His hot water was ready. Somebody came and helped him even to carry his towel to the toilet. It was a big man. But that's a man that God wants to use. And God needed to dismantle him before he can wear the mantle of God's power. Am I communicating? By the time God dealt with this brother, even when God said, come and go, did you hear him say, no, I cannot. Go and look for someone else. No, sir. You know all this now. I am a Samaritan. Hey, I cannot. When God brings a man to the point of emptiness, he is equipping him to bear the power of the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So don't ever be surprised that just before God will show you supernatural breakthroughs, listen, you may first experience a strange breakdown. And you are saying, why am I losing everything here? And God said, yes, if you don't lose, there will be nothing for us to do with your life. Your hand is too strong. So when the Lord of hosts introduces himself, says the Lord of hosts, go and tell Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by expertise, it's not by this, it's not by that, it's by my spirit,
What is he saying to Zerubbabel?
Hand over.
Hand over. Let the Spirit of the Lord take over from you. You can't go anywhere until he comes. This is a very critical matter in our equipping. When we talk about the Holy Spirit taking over from our lives, we are not just talking religion. I'm not being religious. I'm talking of a necessity without which we cannot do anything spiritual. Even when God is about to give you a breakthrough, a supernatural breakthrough, even in that aspect of research, in that aspect of business, in that aspect of a direction God is bringing you into, expect that all that you thought will work out. You may call it the devil. It's okay. If you call it the devil, it's okay. But if you meet the devil says, this one, my hand no day. I'm not involved in this because what they are actually doing to you will kill me tomorrow. I wish they didn't get you do it. If you get to Satan, you will talk like that. Praise the Lord. Can you remember a man like Brother Paul? He told a story that bothers me a lot. He told a story when God began to use him. Said God posted a messenger of Satan. Have you read that part? To do what? To greet him. To do what? To torment him. He said he prayed and prayed and said, God, take this. God said, no. It is when you are weak that my power shows best. I need you weak for you to be strong in my hand. I want a man that is broken so that I, the Lord, can use him for my glory. That first equipment, if I were to describe it, and if we were to go about how do we achieve it, I would like to say quickly that equipment, it may start at one point, but it never finishes. The reason is because it is a conditionality for God to take over all the time. I always was thinking that God will allow me to be weak once, and then when he has come, then I'll become strong, I'll be able to move. I thought that that's what he would do. But I've come to know over and over and over again that he wants me weak, that his power may rest on me. He wants me empty, that his spirit may find a space to fill. He wants me incapable, that it might become
his capability at work in me. He wants me to have no leg to lean or stand upon, that I may lean on the everlasting arm. Will you want God to do that to you? Some say, Don't say yes to Brother Gilles' prayer. Because when it begins to happen now, well, it's going to be great if God can do it for you. Let me pray that God will do it for you. Let me tell you that that is how God wants it to be done. When God was talking about Jesus, he said, "Behold my servant whom I uphold." And all through the ministry of Jesus, there was this constant testimony he kept giving. He said, "I of my own self, I do what? I can do nothing." Have you heard Jesus say that several times? You go to John chapter 5, John chapter 8, John chapter 10. You hear Jesus say, "Of my own self, I can do nothing." Not just that he said, "Of my own self, I do nothing." That's not just what touches me. What touches me is that he said, "Of my own self, the Son can do nothing." As if the Son has lost the capacity to do something except the Father does it. How can Jesus lose capacity to be able to do something by himself? But that is how he walked. And I kept begging, "Lord, can I also, as I'm trying, learning to become like Jesus, can I also, God, lose capacity to do something by myself, for myself, in myself, so that I might be able to say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me." That I may be able to say that with all sincerity. That I may be able to say that it's no longer I. It's not about what I know how to do. It's not about how I know how to do it. It's not about what I can organize. It is him working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the first primary and principal equipment. Permit me to say to you, even when you become baptized in the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost has filled your life, it does not translate unto power until everything about what you know how to do has been set aside. There is power rest upon you. Would you like to say, "Lord, empty me that you may fill me. Break me that you may become the strength of my life." There are songs I know we sing in Baptist hymnals, and I look at the man that composes those songs, and because you see, I grew up with Yoruba Baptist hymnals. Some of those songs, I just wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and I'm singing it. And one of those songs says, "Jesus, my strength.
Jesus, my strength. I say, how did these men understand that? They knew that the strength to do anything for God that would be supernatural must never be by human energy. It has to come from Him. So if we are going to become instruments for divine spiritual shaking in our time, the captain of the Lord's host must take over from him. You are going to be evacuated so that you can have a space to walk. Hallelujah. Are you doing research? And God is about to bring you to a discovery that will baffle all your colleagues. Heaven has been waiting for you to come to the end of yourself. When everything that you thought is going to work out, when they are not working, and you kneel down in the laboratory and say, Father, I am finished. If you don't come now, I don't know what to do again. And there will be several people who will stand up tomorrow to say, Sir, when I gave up, the master took over. When I came to the end of all I thought I knew how to do, that was the turning point in this particular work. When a man has not reached that, you may be able to do things that ordinary colleagues do, but if you are going to do things that heaven is the one doing it and shaking everywhere, that is a prerequisite equipping that you need. You say, Fragile, why are you coming in this? Because everywhere you went, they talk to you about power. Abi? They talk to you about energy. And so when we are talking about power, you see, unconsciously we do our muscle like this. And so all of you are thinking that yes. His power is made perfect. His power shows best when you are weak. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 9, verse 10 begins to say. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I think I should ask someone again to help me read that Zechariah chapter 4. You will read verse 6. You will read verse 7 for me. But this time, I'm looking for it from the Living Bible. I think, Tony, did you come with your Living Bible again? Please, can you lend him a microphone so that I can read Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, verse 7 for us? Zechariah, we are reading from the Old Living Bible, what you call the Living Bible, not New Living Translation.
Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6.
Yes.
Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel.
Yes.
Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. Verse 7. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will flatten out before him.
It will flatten out before him.
And Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone.
I pray that we will come to that point where each one of us will be able to shout when we have done great things that people will They will marvel and say, how did you come about? They said, all of this was done by the grace of God. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by any other means, but grace has made it to happen. Praise the Lord. Number two, what is the second equipping? I said the first equipping is the primary and principal equipping. That is the base that will cause even the anointing of the Holy Spirit to become very effective in your life. The second equipping. I want you to follow me to it now. Praise the Lord. Now, we will pick it from all the various scriptures we can get so as to move fast with it. Would you like to go to Jeremiah chapter 1? Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's all move there. Jeremiah chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Now, in verse 10, maybe I should start from verse 9. You would like to read Jeremiah from chapter 1, from verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, all of that. I think you know it. But I want to read from verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Praise the Lord. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. I want you to please bear with me on that before I go away. All the things they were describing that Jeremiah was to do. See, I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. All those things, all those parameters of actions, what do you think is the kind of equipment that you do that kind of thing? Naturalism. Eh? Something like bulldozer. Eh? Something that is very, very aggressive. If you are going to pull down, you are going to root out, you are going to destroy, if you are going to break, you know that all those kind of things, you don't use broom to do that. You need bulldozer, you need caterpillars, eh? You need some dynamite. Thank you, sir. You need something that can come and blast. Just can do coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo and everything is shaking. And so as I hear God say, look, I will shake the heavens. I will shake the earth. I will shake the sea. I will shake the dry land. I will shake the nation. It gives an impression as if something will come and do coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo. But as I read the scripture, I have put my word in your mouth. It looks to me now as if, sir, when God wants to use a man to bring supernatural shaking, apart from the captain of the Lord's host that has taken over, the next thing God does is to do what? Is to give him his word. Equipping by the word of the Lord. I have put my word in your mouth. I have touched your mouth. My word is in your mouth now. You will root nations. You will destroy kingdoms. You will uproot things. You will pull down. You will destroy. You will throw down. And then by my word in your mouth, you will build and you will plant. And sometimes, you may undermine the equipping that God gives to those he wants to use. You may not know that God's equipping to cause supernatural shaking is his word. Do you know that what happened in the life of John the Baptist and the whole nation came under a very serious conviction that men were trooping from the city. They were going to the wilderness and they were confessing those that had cheated. They were coming out. What did God do? The Bible says the word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord. I was looking at the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. When Ezra stood up to teach the word of God, they were just reading. Then something was quaking in the midst of the people. They began to cry. Those that have gone to marry strange wives with strange children. I don't know what you understood. They came under a conviction. They started trembling. They were coming out. They said, Ezra, we are in trouble. This woman I married is not the correct one. What do I do? And if you go back to that scripture, for days and weeks, people were crying. I said, so if God will bless a man with the word of God, we can change our generation. When Jesus Christ was going to send forth his disciples, said, listen, when I sent you out before without cause, without anything, did you lack? He said, nothing. He said, now, any of you that do not have the sword, go and sell your garment and buy one. They didn't understand. They thought he was talking about the sword of iron. So when Brother Peter wanted to use the sword of iron to cut somebody's head, and he said, get away. Those who live by the sword, they will die by the sword. God, that's not what we're talking about. But the day of Pentecost came, and the Spirit of God descended upon their lives, what did God give Peter that tears the heart of men? Excuse me, what is it? It's a word. It's a word. He said, those that heard this word were pricked, were pierced to their heart, and then they cried and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" And without any other thing, the man just says, "Repent, every one of you." And that's how thousands, 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 thousands were coming. The word of the Lord. I want to submit to you tonight that if God wants to use you to affect your generation in a significant way, when He has dismantled you from your own personal wisdom and strength, He will equip you with His word. Permit me to say to you, one of the things that has got lost, that has brought us to where we have reached, and our generation is entering into more and more difficulties, is the scarcity of the word of God. Listen carefully. Did I say the scarcity of preachers? Do you know that there are more preachers nowadays than it has ever been? But if you sit down quickly and listen to what they are talking about, they may make big noise, they may sugarcoat it, they may look for high-sounding symmetry. They may get some good vocabulary that is well arranged, and they may appeal to the psychology of the audience. They may tell you something to do to gyrate, to shake your body and just jump up. But in all of that, something that can create light is omitted. What is that? The word of the Lord. If you are going to be meticulous, and if you have a taste for something that is serious and something biblical, you will soon discover that the word of God is becoming more and more scarce in our time. But having lost the grip of the word of God, men have filled it with their own words. They tell their dreams. God said, "What has chaff to do with the wheat? Is my word not like what? Hammer that breaks rocks? And is my word not like fire that burns and melts the heart of men?" But when God's word has become scarce, entertainment and entertainers multiply. Motivational speakers. And let me tell you, there's no anointing for motivational speaking. It's psychology. And you don't actually to be a Christian to be a motivational speaker. I hope you know that there are professionals that are into motivational speaking. Have you? Aha. It's a profession. We can bring a motivational speaker here, and he will say something, just give him 30, 40 minutes, he will gyrate all of us. He will show you the kind of things that you could have done for yourself that you don't know that you are capable of doing. He will shake your body, shake your body. And he will put some slogans on your lips. It's part of motivational approach. You break down what you want to say into slogans. Repetitive slogans. It's part of what we learned when we are dealing with psychology in those days. Stimulus response therapy.
And when you are made to repeat something over and over and over again, you will begin to act it even when you don't think. Becomes your reflex. I see all of that going on the pulpit. I see a man of God saying, repeat, repeat, repeat. So when you have repeated one statement about 20 times, you know that you lose your sense. You don't think again. So it can easily turn you like this and you can fall. That's it, fall down there. You won't know what has, you are just falling. Intelligent people are falling because you have submitted your senses to be manipulated from outside. We know about all of that. That's not an anointing. But when God wants to use you to affect men in a way they will never forget and they will never recover from it, He will give you His word. When we get on to pray tonight, and we are going to be saying, Lord, give me, O Lord, Thy unction. Anoint me for Thy work. Arise and set me in motion. That will be part of the issues we are going to be pleading with God to do for you. Praise the Lord. You know, when I spend time to talk to you about that kind of equipping, I am not just talking about a theory. I have found that everywhere God did something supernatural in people's lives, His word was what caused it. Any move that is not anchored by the word of God is a temporary move. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, and those of you that are pastors and preachers and men who want to become used of God, permit me to inform you quickly. If the word of God started a move, that is, the word of God came and released a move of God and things began to happen, the tendency is to ignore the word that created the move and begin to celebrate the move. Do you know what is going to happen? The move will move away. And it will become finished. It will be empty. Because the only creator of every new move is the word of God that created it. So sometimes, I have seen God started a break work and the Spirit of God is working, moving. And instead of the men to become committed to the truth of the word of God that created that move, they put it aside, then they begin to dance around the effect. So you see, there will be a lot of stories. Oh, when the man of God came, he shook my head. I just said, hallelujah. That cannot create the move. The word of God must come. So God continues to say, preach the word. Hallelujah. What brought the move of God on the day of Pentecost is the word that they preached. What perpetuated it is the word that they preached. When great things began to happen and good things begin and the number of disciples are multiplied and ceremonies and sharing of things was beginning to take the space, the brethren, the apostles, the 12 of them, they say, we are making a mistake here. It is not correct for us to leave the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word to be serving tables. Let us put people doing that. We will devote ourselves to what? To prayer and the ministry of the word. The result was that the number of disciples did what? Multiplied greatly. The result was that the word of the Lord increased. The result was that the power of God was made manifest. Pastors, don't in any situation move away from the word of the Lord. Don't let activities choke out God's word. The incorruptible word of God is the incorruptible seed by which we are born again. When the word of God is no more preached, the seed of the kingdom is no more present. And I want you to know that it is the seed that has capacity to multiply, nothing else. We can continue to see a growing work, a work that will never stop, if we continue to commit ourselves to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. But if we, because we became so zealous, gave no more space to God's word, we are planned to perish whatever God started to do in our lives. Let it not be so. That second equipping, I have put my word in your mouth. Look at God speaking to Isaiah also. I want you to please see what God was saying to Isaiah. And there are many places where God was addressing Isaiah. But I'd like you to look at what God was saying to him in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16. Isaiah 51, 16. And I have put my words where? In your mouth. And I have covered you in the shadow of my hands, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Can you go over that scripture again? I have done what? I have put my words in your mouth and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand so that I may plant the heavens. By what will God establish a work that will shake and shake the heavens and shake the earth and cause nations to vibrate and shake the sea and shake the dry land? By the word of the Lord in your mouth. I want to thank God that God's word is a very comprehensive equipment for the man of God. I want to again thank God that the word of God in the mouth of a man of God is more than millions of dollars. And actually, I would love to say, for God to give me millions of naira at the expense of his word in my mouth is for God to punish me. Is for God to finish with me and to say, I don't need you again. I've always begged God, Lord, don't pay me off. Don't give me goods if you will not give me your word. It's because the word of God in my mouth, are you hearing me? It will subdue nations. The word of God in my mouth will break the hearts of men. The word of God in my mouth will open the hearts of men and turn them around. The word of God in my mouth
subdues the hardest of sinners. The word of God. Thank God. I have ever begged God, give me your word. Don't give me anything else. I don't care about anything else. But let not your word depart from my mouth. Let me not become a storyteller. Let me not be occupying pulpit, and there is no word of the Lord in my mouth. Those who listen to such a man, they are unfortunate. I have put my word in your mouth that I may plant the heavens and that I may lay the foundations of the earth. I have found that the word of the Lord is what lays foundation of life. The word of the Lord will change marriages. The word of the Lord will resettle even our government when God's word begins to come. And since God is saying, I will shake the nations, I will shake the heavens, I will shake the earth. But here I'm saying, he said, I will plant the heavens and I will lay the foundations of the earth. I will replant it by the word of God in your mouth. I will particularly desire that all my friends who are preachers, you will join me to beg God tonight and say, Father, not a soothsayer I want to be. There's no other evidence that I am a man of God if the word of the Lord is not with me. They said concerning Samuel, they said, Samuel has now been established to be a prophet in Israel, for the word of the Lord is with him. I don't want to be known for anything else. And I tell you, actually there's nothing else you need to be known about apart from God's word in your life. And if I will put it very plainly the way I love to put it, the word of the Lord in your mouth will draw crowd. The word of the Lord in your mouth will clothe you. The word of the Lord in your mouth will promote you. The word of the Lord in your mouth will establish you over and above all those that are contending with you. May the Lord send his word to your life. Let me end by taking the third equipping, which I'm not going to spend time with, other than to read it for you. Go back to Haggai chapter 2 again. Haggai chapter 2. Verse 7 has said, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. What is that that God is going to release as an equipping for his servant? You will quickly think that it will be money. But I want to tell you, money is only a follow-come when the glory of the Lord rests on a life. So, the third equipping that I'm looking unto God to lay on our lives is the spirit of glory. What do I call it? The Spirit of Glory. It's a bit difficult to describe. But one thing that Adam lost as soon as he fell into sin was the departure of the glory. Eh? One thing that happened when Eli and his sons began to misbehave was the departure of the glory. So when that woman cried at her deathbed when she was about to die, she said, Ichabod! 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 And what's the meaning of Ichabod? The glory has departed. My dear brothers and sisters, the Spirit of Glory, for every man that God uses, he releases a measure of his glory on that life. I did not understand that until the day the Lord was talking to Moses. And Moses was to hand over to who? To Joshua. And God said, call Joshua and release your glory on him. Say, bring Joshua up and cast on him your glory. So it means then that every ministry that will create effect, that will affect men, is not bare. It's not naked. There's a glory. There's a glory. When that glory rests on a man's life, he commands obedience. It subdues the heart of men. But there is a very critical difficulty about that equipping. You know, as Moses dwelt with God on the mount, we are told that his face began to do what? To shine. There's a glory that came. But that glory was external. It was fading away. When people saw it, they said, no, cover it, cover it, cover it, cover it, cover it. So he began to use a veil over it. But, Brother Paul said, we have not been called into the kind of ministry of Moses. God has called us into a ministry of glory. But this glory does not fade. This glory is in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, because we are confident of this, we use plainness of speech. We don't cajole. This glory does not need cajoling. Brothers, I pray it will settle on your life. I pray that the Spirit of Glory will rest on you, will rest on your life, will rest on your ministry, will rest on your work. That as you are passing, they will see something about you. They will see a glory around you. That's what makes it impossible for people to take you for granted. How do we engage this Spirit of Glory? How does it become an ever-increasing glory in our lives? How does it break forth as a day-to-day experience in my life? Two issues, 2 points, and I end with that. You know, in the book of Colossians chapter 1,
He said, the mystery is this: Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory, the basis of glory. Romans chapter 3 has said, all men have sinned and they have done what? They have come short of what? Of the glory. But when Christ comes to dwell in a man's life, that is the source. That is the basis. That is the, yes, I better use the word source. That is the source. That is the spring forth, the springboard of the glory. So I found that I don't need to do anything else. I only need to carry this Christ everywhere, and a glory will be oozing out. I was discovering that Paul spoke so much about glory. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. He was saying we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. God who shined in the beginning, who commanded light to shine in the beginning, has shined in our heart to give what? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. May the glory of God rest upon your life. Let me tell you, I cannot engage any serious work for God if His glory will not rest on it. But the trouble with glory is that God needs men who can carry glory and not touch glory. Men who can bear the glory of God everywhere and don't share the glory. Men and women that God will release a measure of His glory into their lives, into their work, and yet they are not tempted to touch or share the glory. I may be talking beyond some people's understanding tonight, but you will grow into it. Since God has assured me that He is recruiting many of us as instruments for that supernatural move, the Spirit of glory will come upon you. Now, Paul now says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord in the Word of God, we are being changed. We are being transformed. We are being constantly transfigured into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. I stop at that point tonight. You will be asking, where is the power to cast out demons? Where is the power to shake people and chase out their demons and heal their sick? You will realize I've not talked about God or those ones. You know why? They are embedded. They are the follow come. Oh, may God answer my prayer for you. You will see greater things. You will see miracles. You will pray and things will happen. You will lay your hands and you will see God moving. And you know, all of that will happen because the captain is at work. All of that will happen because the word of the Lord is in your mouth. All of that will happen because the glory of God has rested on you. All of those things that brothers would like to emphasize as individual issues, they are not. They are part of a package. They are part of what we begin to follow you.
Oh, may God help you to understand this now. Do you know that when you come to a situation and you saw yourself there and say, now, captain of the Lord's host, take over. Just take over now. And he decides to take over. We can't predict what he will do. Can't predict the miracles he will bring. We can't predict, oh my God. And because some of us have known that, we now know that it's not by power, it's not by might. We can just whisper a simple word and say, Father, this woman has been barren for 5 years, 10 years. Lord, turn it in the name of Jesus. And the woman said, but you have not prayed for me. He said, no, we have prayed. Because you see, she's coming from where they will hit her stomach 7 times. And use their ankle to push her down. Then she knows that something, the man of God has walked. No. That's not the characteristic of what we are talking about. What we are talking about is the captive walking here, changing stories. Do you know that some of you are in this meeting, the trouble, the sickness you came here with will not follow you home? In the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Do you know why? The captain of the lost host is going to touch you. And he's going to say, concerning this matter is finished. And you get to say, but Fragulet did not even call us out. But since I left that meeting, the thing has disappeared. So you don't know who to give glory to. Are you understanding? You don't know who to because God did it. Hallelujah. I went for a meeting in a Bible school one time. And we finished. I was just coming down, like I'm finishing like this, and people are coming to greet me. And this brother came and greeted me. Uncle, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I said, how are you? Fine. How is your wife? He said, fine. I said, how are your babies? Then he said, we have not had any. I said, you mean you don't have a baby yet? He said, we don't have a baby. I said, is it because you don't want one? He said, we have been friends. Okay. You have your baby by next year in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then we went away. And in the next year, he was running to come and meet me and say, Baba, on this step, you said we are going to have our baby and we were laughing. That did he know what he said? But the baby is here. This is your baby, sir. This is your baby, sir. I said, no, that's your own baby. Now, what is the meaning of that? That no man may take the glory. That no man will say, as I lay my hands on him. No. What God is going to do now, we only centralize Jesus and capitalize him. All men will decrease and he alone will increase. And every week you'll be having testimony in this church, sir. Every week. Every week. You will be hearing what God is doing. Because it's no more by power, it's no more by mind, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Businesses will begin to break forth in dimensions beyond what we have ever thought. Maybe you thought you have some big men in this church. Just wait. You will be seeing men, they look ordinary, they are looking normal, small. You won't even be able to recognize them as big men. But they are going to be big movers. Because it is not them. They have come to the end of their own effort. The captain has taken over. All these are embedded in what God is talking about. So three issues. The captain of the Lord's host, the present presence of the captain, that God will release when He equips you with inherent recognition of your weakness, of your inadequacy. So when any of you feel you are looking, they say, come and sing. Then you suddenly forgot all the lyrics you know. You say, ah, but I used to sing very well before. What has happened to me? I don't even know how to stand up and sing. And they say, but I'm the one leading the worship tomorrow. And because you don't know what to do, you are rolling on the ground. You are saying, Lord, if you don't come, I'm in trouble. I don't even know which chorus I will raise now. Go and see. When that brother will come, all of us will be on the floor. They say there's a supernatural move that happens when we are singing. That's it. Healings will be taking place while they are singing. Are you expecting that now? People will be, something will be happening because they are coming from weakness. They are coming from emptiness so that the captain can take over. I would like to commend you to God on that. I would like to send you out of this revival meeting on that. I would like to say to God, Father, engage with these brothers and sisters. Do for them what your heart has been yearning to do. Please have your way in our lives. And God, please, Lord, put the word in their mouth. Endow them with the word. He said, I put my word in your mouth so that I may plant the heavens and I may lay the foundations of the earth. I have put my word in your mouth. You will root out, you will pull down. So, if it is something to pull down, it's by the word in your mouth. If it is something to plant, it is by His word in your mouth. This will follow you from here. And finally, the Spirit of glory. The glory of God will cover your life. When you stand up to do anything for God, it will come with a touch of His glory. The only thing is that you will not touch the glory. You will not share the glory. God will give you insight into things that people have never seen before. But the glory of it must be given to Him. People say, when have you studied this for so long and you are coming with this kind of recipe that nobody has ever discovered before? He said, no, to His glory. Will you rise as we pray together this night? Will you rise and say, Lord, here am I. You know, I went on this note tonight because in the past 2-3 days, God has been speaking about men and women that He wants to work with. Shaking the heavens and shaking the earth and shaking the seas and shaking the dry land and shaking the nations is what God is going to do, but through men and women like us. Oh, use me, Lord. Use even me. Just as Thou wilt. And when and where you want to do it. Give me, O Lord, an unction. Anoint me, Lord, for Thy word. Arise, O God, and set me in motion. Thou the man of war. Heaven is opening today. Our sisters and brothers were singing, say, there be open heaven, open heaven, open heaven, open heaven. It shall be in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, please arise in this place. confirm your word in this congregation. Set this man on fire in the name of Jesus. The captain of the Lord's host, come down and take over from tonight. Take over from this life right now. We take off our own shoes. We put aside our experience that you might take over from here. And that from this meeting, oh God, this sanctuary will experience a newness. They will experience a move of God. They will experience a release of the supernatural in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, from this night, release your word. Put your word in our mouth. That from this night, you said, I'll put my word in your mouth, and by it I will plant the heavens. It's something we cannot immediately explain. How you are going to be planting the heavens in the heart of men, in the midst of men, on the face of the earth. Father, let it be so in the name of Jesus. And Lord, Lord, when you brought Adam into being, you left a glory with him. But when he failed and the glory departed, we saw several men breaking forth into that glory. But when Jesus came, they said he was a man full of grace. And he is a man that bore the glory of God. This night, Lord, let there be a release of your glory. Let the Spirit of glory rest upon your people in a very definite way from tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of glory come upon our ministries. Let it come upon our works. Let it come upon our endeavors. Whatever you touch, there will be a touch of glory on it. Wherever you go, the glory of the Lord will be around it. Lord Jesus, but we will not share the glory. We will not touch the glory. The glory will be yours. The glory will remain yours. Things will be happening supernaturally among us. But we will never share your glory. Prayers will be answered in a very unprecedented manner. But we will never share your glory. From this meeting forward, O God, all obstacles that stood before now, by the word of the Lord, begin to flatten out. Flatten out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mountains that look as if it's so tall nobody can climb it, we are coming on top of those mountains now. You are getting flattened out in the name of Jesus Christ. Things that look inaccessible, that people are saying, how could you ever touch that? Father, by your hand, you will drag it here. Your people will walk into it. They will step into that traffic that you were talking to us about. Say, from hereafter, you will see greater things than this. Let it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all your servants that are in this meeting. Lord, having called them, having set them apart, having brought them out to serve your purpose, let the glory of God come upon their ministry. That they will grow from glory to glory in an ever-increasing manner. Ever-increasing glory. This shall be our experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, will you wave your hand to the Lord right now? Just wave your hand to the Lord. And give him all the glory, give him the praise tonight. Something is pouring forth upon your life.
Something is taken over from you. Though you are losing confidence in your strength, in your personal self, a strength is arising which is not of yours, but the Lord. You will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you, Father. Thank you. So, Lord, with our hands lifted to you, put your hand in our hand, O God, and lead these men out. Lead them into all you are talking about. Give them a dimension of what you are speaking about. And from this meeting, O God, every soul that have come out before you, that have laid down their lives at your feet, that have looked unto you for a divine touch, Lord, from tonight, walk with them. Manifest your power in their lives. Confirm your word with signs and wonders following them. Those that are sick and doctors don't know what to do with your life, the great physician is here. He's touching that situation. He's turning it about in the name of Jesus Christ. Things that look barren and stagnant, those that have struggled for years, that struggle is coming to an end. Because the captain of the Lord's host is now here. You have now come. All the walls of Jericho against your people, we command them to collapse in the name of Jesus. All the valleys that the enemy trusted in and said, let me see how they will cross it. This night we level them up in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, that as your people move again, they will move into the realm of the supernatural. Things that will be happening to them will no longer be ordinary. It will be the hand of God causing it. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you for taking all the glory. Thank you for walking in our midst. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And so, Lord, take honor. Take honor. And for this church, we bless this church with the blessing of the Lord. We ask that this congregation, you will know the visitation of the Lord. This place, you will multiply. You will increase. You will see the hand of the Lord walking. Every department, every segment, every group in the congregation, you will experience an enlargement. An enlargement that comes by the hand of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. It shall be well with your soul. It shall be well with whatever you lay your hands to do. God Himself will advance you. The Lord Himself will speak good concerning your life. And you will serve the Lord. You will glorify the Lord. You will be His voice among men. So will it be. In the name of Jesus. And amen.